Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Filming Nicky for Dave Plyer, 9 minutes past midnight. Welcome to July 11th, 2020 in the world's greatest city. Woo-hoo. Our next guest was the public address announcer at both the Old Chicago Stadium and the United Center for 41 years. And I know no one misses hockey as much as Harvey Wittenberg. Harvey, thank you for joining us at 720 WGN.
My pleasure. Hockey is back. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. First, where did it start for you? You were born in Chicago, right?
I'm a hometown boy outside of the University of Illinois in Champaign. I've lived in Chicago all my life. So.
You went to your first Hawks game when you were 10 years old?
10 years old, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Hawks against Montreal in 1946. And I saw the likes of the Bentley brothers, Doug and Max, and Billy Mozienko, and played for Montreal in that 1946 playoffs, which a lot of the players hadn't been back from World War II yet. Billy Ray was playing on the line with the famed Rocket Richard. So wow. I fell in love with the game. I didn't know the rules then or anything, or the players, and after that I became a lifelong fan.
Absolutely. 41 years as the PA announcer, what was that like? Oh my goodness.
It was kind of interesting in the old stadium. The fellow I succeeded, Bob Foster, who worked at WGN. WGN opened the Washington Bureau, and Bob was tied in with politics. So he got transferred to Washington, D.C., and I was his backup guy because I was involved with radio in Chicago. So,
got it. Kind of like me and Dave Plyer.
Yeah.
He decided to take a couple of weeks off, and hey, you know, yeah, it could be a Lou Gehrig situation, just like you. Yeah, so you went to the University of Illinois, my alma mater as well.
Yes, and major in radio, TV, journalism.
And what was more important for you then, the radio part or the journalism part?
Well, like I say, when I always had a lifelong dream when I graduated grade school on Chicago's West Side. I wanted to be either a sports announcer or a sports writer. So I fulfilled my dream. I exceeded my dream.
Absolutely. All right. So hockey is back. Thank goodness for this. Some dates. July 13th, the start of formal training camps. The Hawks are already doing voluntary stuff now, right?
Yeah, they're getting in shape. One thing about hockey is that even when regular season, besides all that's going on in the world, players, hockey is the only sport I know where the players are supposed to report in game condition to training camp.
Right.
And what happens, they're the only sport I know that within a week of training camp, they start the first games. I mean, the preseason games, but they start right away.
Right, right. So July 13th is the formal start of training camps. July 26th, the clubs travel to hub cities. Those hub cities, Chicago was in the running at one point for this, right?
Right at the end, yeah. The four cities that got down to it right at the end, Chicago and Vegas in the States, and Toronto and Edmonton were the two cities in Canada.
And they decided on Edmonton and Toronto, correct?
Yeah, because it avoids going back and forth between the states. So I could say the Eastern teams played in Toronto and the Western teams played in either Vegas or Chicago. They'd have to eventually go across back the border. So the Canadian government waived the fact that there'd be restrictions going back and forth, but the league decided it'd be easier that way because of the geographics.
Got it. And that kind of makes sense, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then the next date, August 1st, the start of the qualifying rounds. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Hawks are in the playoffs.
Yeah. Wow.
Realistically, what do you think our chances are? We play Edmonton in the qualifying round, correct?
Yeah, Edmonton, you know, is a talented team. They, Leonard Dreisel and Connor McDavid, I mean, two great hockey players, and Dreisel won the scoring for the regular season. So the fact that there will be no crowd in the stands may detract a little bit from Edmonton playing on their home ice. But, you know, in the playoffs, anything can happen. So the home ice doesn't mean that much because both teams have as much. So the first round of the qualifying teams on the side of the top four, they play a best of five, and the rest of the all series are best of seven. So if the Hawks get by Edmonton, they would play the next highest seed team because the Hawks would have the lowest seed going into after the first play-in round. So.
Got it. A lot of times in the playoffs, it comes down to a hot goalie.
Right.
Is Corey Crawford that guy?
Well, he certainly performed well in the playoffs, and he had a really solid season up until the suspension of play in March. So, you know, but of course, a goalie is only as good as the guys in front of him. And the defense has to rise up, and we're getting Dion back after his shoulder surgery. He's eligible. So, and you got veterans, you know, like Keith and those guys. So it should be good. But you got to stop the scoring, and you got to stay out of the penalty box because Edmonton is with Dreisel and McDavid are cares when it comes to the power play.
Right. You touched on it a little bit earlier, just the fact that there's no fans in the stands.
Yeah.
That's going to make a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. It's it can swing a game one way or the other and gets the adrenaline running on the players. So, you know, from that standpoint, the Hawks and Edmonds will be even from that standpoint. Although playing in their home rink, you know, where the bounces go off the backboards and stuff like that. So it gives a little bit of an edge, but not much.
Right. And honestly, with nobody in the stands, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that you normally don't hear from the players. And the language could get a little dicey, because it usually does.
Oh, the days before they had the mics and all the TV stuff and everything, originally when I did the PA back in the old stadium, I was in between the penalty box with the official scorer. And when the players came over, after calls were made, there was some unsavory language that might go bouncing around.
That's going to be interesting as well. We're talking with Harvey Wittenberg of the Chicago Blackhawks. More with Harvey in just a little bit. We're going to talk about, among other things, Hall of Famers, a couple of books that you've done, and more. Harvey Wittenberg, more with him next. We're at 720 WGN. Dominic and Dave Fire, 720 WGN. We're talking with Harvey Wittenberg, PA announcer for the Hawks for 41 years. Still part of the team, correct?
Yeah, I'll be starting my 62nd season with the team. So.
Wow, that's amazing. The Blackhawks have two new Hall of Famers, Marian Hossa and Doug Wilson.
Two great players. I didn't realize until he got elected that he had been passed over several times. But Hossa, this is the first year he became eligible. And his statistics, I mean, are phenomenal. And, of course, what he did with the Hawks, being on three Stanley Cup teams, is phenomenal. And a player that plays both ends of the ice. I mean, he's always been top five in the league in takeaways, taking the puck away from other players on the other team. And he played penalty kill, and he played power play. And, of course, when the Hawks won their first cup in 49 years in 2010, we were playing Nashville in game five at the United Center.
Oh,
and
that game.
Hossa gets a major penalty, didn't get thrown out of the game, gets a major 5-minute penalty like a minute and 10 to go in regulation, and the Hawks are down by a goal.
Yep.
And with 13.5 seconds, Kane shorthanded scores to tie the game. But then we go into overtime, and you got almost 4.5 minutes left in the, or around 4 minutes, I think 7 seconds was it officially, left in Hossa's penalty. And Hossa comes out of the penalty box in 15 seconds, he scores the winning goal. We go down to Nashville, leading series 3-2 instead of being down one and possibly getting eliminated in Nashville, and go on to win our first cup in 49ers.
That game was amazing, and one of the many reasons Marian Hossa is in the Hall of Fame. Like you said, one of the best two-end players ever.
Yeah.
Why do you think it took Doug Wilson so long to get in?
Well, you know, every year the committee evaluates things, and, you know, his name is on the list. He holds the Hawk record for goals in the season 39. He was the second to last player with the Hawks to play without a helmet. Al Secord was the last one that played for the Hawks without a helmet. But when he came back with the Hawks later, he did wear a helmet. So Doug was a phenomenal player both ends of the ice. And, of course, he's been general manager for San Jose and has done a good job at that, although they haven't won a cup. They've come close. Although when the Hawks won in 2010, they finished a point ahead of us in the regular season, and then we swept them in the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
But Doug is an excellent, good player.
Absolutely. And a great guy, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to read this statement, and I'd like to hear what you think about it. This is from Wednesday's Tribune article by Paul Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
The subject is sports organizations and their nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks preemptively released a statement Tuesday night saying they don't want to change because, quoting here, the name and logo symbolizes an important and historic person, Blackhawk of Illinois' Sac and Fox Nation, whose leadership and life has inspired generations of Native Americans, veterans, and the public. We recognize there is a fine line between respect and disrespect, it said, and we commend other teams for their willingness to engage in that conversation. Moving forward, we are committed to raising the bar even higher to expand awareness of Blackhawk and the important contributions of all Native American people. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, this controversy has been going around the country. High school teams that had nicknames that, Chief Illini, I think it's a fine line, but I think the Blackhawks have always honored the name. Of course, Major McLaughlin, who got the franchise in 1926, the Blackhawks in the NHL, he was a major in the World War One infantry, and his group was called the Blackhawks. So he was named after, the Blackhawks were named after that, but of course it recognized Chief Blackhawk from Illinois. So the Blackhawks have always honored it, and in recent years, when they before the anthem, the war veterans that have been American Native Indians have always been part of that honor. And, it's not any disrespect on the Indian nation, the American Natives. So I think it's right that the Blackhawks maintain honoring it and respecting it, and it should remain the same.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's a great situation that the Blackhawks were proactive in it instead of waiting for whatever to happen. So
yeah.
I think that's good news. I agree with you on that as well. So the book. Actually, there were two books, Tales from the Blackhawks Locker Room, a collection of the greatest Blackhawks stories ever told. You wrote the first book in what year?
2003, and then they updated it in 2011 to include the Stanley Cup of 2010. And then updated it again in almost came out in 2017, which was updating the next two Stanley Cups of 2013 and 2015. So the original book was just updated and added to, and then the other edition back in 2017 was the same. So everything that was, there are a few minor changes that updated things in the book, the guys that have passed away and honoring name and stuff like that. So if someone buys the book, it have all the original information, 2003, and then on and so on and so forth. when the book first came out, and I think it was on page 3, Keith, I did an extensive interview with Keith Magison. He complimented me on the book, and then unfortunately 10 days after that, he was killed in that auto crash up near Windsor, Canada. So, you know, it's stories of the players, the coaches, officials, broadcasters, sports writers, and in their own words, and just added to everything. So I was caught up with a lot of players I hadn't caught up with, and then nice conversations with the guys who were living out of town, and unfortunately a lot of the guys have passed away. I know when I first wrote the book, I did a campaign to have Pierre Palat's jersey retired, and it was. My next goal was to get Steve Larmer's jersey retired, so his record stands for themselves, and great hockey player and a really good guy.
I hope you're successful with that as well. But as you said, lots of great stories. The book is an easy, easy read because there are rather short, just anecdotes and stories that are all hysterical. Do you have any favorite stories?
Well, of course, one of the favorites was Chris Chelios when he was playing with the Hawks. They were up in Montreal, and Keenan had a curfew. When the players were on the road, he had a curfew, okay?
I love
so that. So they're staying at the hotel in Montreal, and I think they were listening to country music. So, and they had a game next day with Montreal. So the time got away from them, and it was like midnight, and they're going back to the hotel. I think the curfew was 11. Anyway, so they're walking into the lobby to go to the elevator to go up to their rooms, and the elevator door opens. Who walks out? Mike Keenan. So Keenan looked at them and didn't say a word, and they got in the elevator, and Keenan got out of the elevator. So the next day, a pregame practice, which is usually around 11 or noon, both Steve Smith and Chelios were saying to themselves, wondering what's going to happen with Keenan, because he's kind of a strict disciplinarian. Anyway, Keenan didn't say anything. So the game starts, and they're wondering what's going to go happening here. So Keenan starts Steve Smith and Chelios in the game. And usually on the shifts, defensemen usually skate for about a minute, minute five, where forwards do about 40, 45-second shifts. So, you know, the minute goes by or whatever, and Smith and Chelios head to the bench. Keenan points to them. He kept them on the ice the entire first period.
And nothing was ever said, right?
Right.
But they kind of got the message, though, didn't they?
Oh yeah. That's you know, in the early days, the Hawks were pranksters a lot. You know, when the guys were on the road or kidding around. I remember one instance with Pat Stapleton, who just unfortunately passed away a few months ago. It was during the playoffs at the old stadium, and the guys were kind of, you know, finished the practice and everything. Johnny Morris, who played the whiteout for the Bears, so they're outside talking, and Morris is a pretty fast guy. So, and Stapleton was ever known for his speed. So Stapleton said to Morris, running down the side of Warren Avenue, the north side of the building, the old stadium, Stapleton said, "I'll race you down the block for a case of beer." So Morris, you know, Morris takes off his jacket, you know, and loosening his shirt and everything, and he's lining up. It was in, I think it was late April anyway, and so if anything, it was Cliff Quarles was calling off, "Get ready, on your mark, get set, go." Morris takes off down the block, and Stapleton just takes a few steps. And Morris is running down the block. He turns around, and he said, "Where were you?" He said, "Well, I didn't tell you I beat you. I said, I raised you for a case of beer."
Did he ever get that case of beer?
I don't know.
Very, very funny. Great stories. You've got to get this book if you're a hockey fan. It's a definite must. Tales from the Blackhawks Locker Room. A collection of the greatest Blackhawks stories.
Yeah, the stories still go all the way back from, I added some things in the early 30s, interviewed some people, it was great, and then we just added on to it. So it's anybody who is a hockey fan or a Blackhawks fan will enjoy reading I hope to do another edition when we win our next cup.
The always optimistic Harvey Wittenberg. Keeping with the sports theme, it's the Chicago White Sox player with the coolest team record ever. It's a record that no one will ever break, and we're going to hear from him next. Phil Menekin for Dave Plyer, 720 WGN.